If you visit the new cannabis website in Quebec, will anybody know? According to a report by TVA, when a user accesses the site of the Société Québécoise du Cannabis, SQDC, that information request actually goes all the way to the United States. It is sent to an American server and then it's redirected back to Canada. So how private is that information? Alan Mendelson is a lawyer. He specializes in internet law. He teaches a course on the internet and privacy at McGill. He joins me in studio. Hello.
Hi, Sue. How are you? Happy Halloween.
I'm fine. Thank you. So how private is our information?
Well, I think your information is very private. From what I understand, there's not really a lot of personal information that is being sent to the United States. It's just the IP address, what's called the IP address, which is just a string of numbers that in a way can identify you, but in another way can't really identify you. So I'm not sure that the panic is really warranted.
Yeah, it's funny though, because the story comes after I've had a lot of conversations with people who are sort of on the surface a little bit concerned. I mean, I guess the paranoia, is a leftover from before it was legalized. But so let me, and I want to ask you about that, but let me ask you a couple of questions. So we spoke to the company that's named in the report as the American server. They're a company called Imperva. Apparently, they're the leading cybersecurity company in the United States. They would not confirm that the CQDC is a client. They cited client confidentiality.
Sure.
But a spokesperson told us that the reason an organization like the CQDC would use them is for security
purposes.
So why, can you explain that to me? Like, why would a cannabis company in Canada have to go through a server in the United States?
Well, understand that any Canadian company, whether it's the CQDC or any number of private companies, will use American service providers all the time. This is very much standard in the industry. I could list hundreds of my clients who use an American company to process payments on their website, to store their data for that matter. So it's not particularly surprising that information goes to the United States. Look, that's where these companies are. And a lot of specialized companies, whether they be in cybersecurity or any other number of related services to the internet, are just, there's more of them in the United States, more specialized in the United States. And even if you're running a Canadian company, you might go to the United States for those services. So it's not particularly surprising on a general basis. Now, given the sensitivity of the issues involved in this particular matter,
cannabis,
not to mention the fact that a Quebec government agency, it is somewhat surprising that they would choose to use any American service provider whatsoever. That's the one thing that concerns me here. The average, private company that doesn't have these concerns would, understandably might use American service providers, but that a Quebec government agency in a very highly sensitive area would choose to use one, I think that just shows bad decision making.
The level, of course, is that cannabis is illegal in the United States, although some states have it legalized. Look, federally, it's illegal. So, what would concern you about that then?
Well, again, I return to, from my understanding from the report that I read, the data that is being transferred to the United States is not somebody's name or address or phone number. It's only this unique identifier, what we call the IP, Internet Protocol Address,
right,
which it takes a court order to get that converted into something that could identify me or you. So that's not I wouldn't be concerned for that regard, because the panic has been, my goodness, they're tracking everybody who is visiting the SQDC website and can find out who you are, and maybe you'll be barred from the United States forever. I don't think that is the case, given from what I understand about these circumstances.
All right, I just want to play you a little clip from a spokesperson to sort of explains how it works. Let me play you that now.
So a person connects to one of our client servers, their IP address is recorded temporarily. And that IP address is stored on one of our servers, according to the configuration of our client, either in the U.S. or in one of our data centers in the European Union or one of our data centers in Asia Pacific. And that IP address information is stored for 90 days and then is deleted permanently.
So that's Robert Hamilton. He's the director of product marketing for Imperva. That's the American company. So, I mean, you know, forgive me for sowing panic, but he does say it could go into the U.S., the European Union, or into Asia, and it's stored for 90 days.
Sure.
Is there anything concerning in that?
Well, I find it a little disturbing that it's sort of all over the place. Europe, I'm not particularly worried about. Europe has the strongest data protection laws anywhere. So that doesn't particularly concern me. That it's going to Asia does particularly, you know, that is somewhat concerning. Again, I return to the point, as he mentioned in that clip, it is only an IP address mm-hmm. that's being transferred. Mm-hmm. It is not names, email addresses, so forth and so forth. And you cannot turn that IP address into personal information, what's called personally identifiable information under the law, without a court order. Mm-hmm. So I'm doubtful that any court, certainly here in Canada, would grant that court order turning an IP address into names and addresses. So for that reason, you know, I'm less concerned. But again, I return to that original point that I think this is just bad decision making on the part of the SQDC, just to having, you know, chosen.
Like, why would you go?
And why would you choose an American service provider given these circumstances?
But let me ask you something. So I take your point about the IP addresses, and this is if you happen to go onto the website and that there's going to be some record of you, which is temporary and perhaps not traceable. But I had a really interesting conversation with two young people the other day, and they were both saying to me, there's no way I would ever buy weed online, because they're like, you know, they have your credit card information, sure. they have your name, they have your address. And they were like, well, what if I do want to get a job as a lawyer? What if I do want to travel to the States? Is that kind of information traceable?
Oh, there's no question. Look, every time you're going to use your credit card online, every time you're going to enter your name and address and email to confirm your order online, whether it's for a book you're buying on Amazon or whether it's for, you know, some weed you're buying from a government website, your information gets recorded somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no question that no matter where those servers are, where those computers are that are storing that information, it is in fact stored somewhere.
And can that be kind of used against you?
Well, in theory, no. In theory, you know, there are contracts between the SQDC and any of its service providers, who's ever providing, for example, their payment processing services, their delivery services, there would be a contract between those two companies that says you will keep all of our data secure. But there's always an exception to that in that, and I know because I write these contracts quite mm-hmm. often, the exception is always is subject to an order of a court or governmental right. authority. So if some court order or some governmental body shows up to the payment processor and says, I have this court order that says you must turn over all of the people who purchased weed from the website between such and such a date for whatever reason. Well, then, yes. I mean, they would have to turn it over.
So they're not just paranoid. No, but I mean, I'm being glib, but
paranoia is good. There's no question. But again, at the same time, because this is now a legal activity in Canada, there's no reason for a Canadian court or a Canadian governmental authority or a Canadian law enforcement authority to ask for that information. There's absolutely no reason. So that's, you know, you shouldn't worry about it from that perspective.
All right. Alan Mendelson, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Sue. Have a great day. Happy Halloween again, everyone.
Thank you. Alan Mendelson is a lawyer specializing in internet law. He teaches a course in the internet and privacy at McGill.